Well, if you would, this morning, 1 Corinthians in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. It's a very special time in the life of the church when we have the Lord's table set before us. And we remember the Lord's death till He comes. And I want us to think about that this morning. That's why we're here. This is a familiar passage of Scripture to many of us, but it goes right to the heart of the matter concerning this table, these elements, the bread and the cup, and what this is all about, the significance of it. And I know we've had a few new believers coming on, and that's always exciting. Some new folks that have been coming, and I thought, well, we'll go back and look at the very foundation of why we do this as the church, what this is all about. And so this morning, some truths concerning the Lord's Supper. Truths concerning the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. Notice what the Word of God says. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Let's pray once again as we open the Word. Father, we need You as we come to this time of opening the Scripture. We've read this truth, Father, Your precious Word. We're so thankful for Your Word, God. In a world full of chaos and lies and deceptions, to have a foundation of truth that cannot and will not ever fail. Oh God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that we can look to the Scripture and find truth that will never fail or falter. Find truth for our lives, God, that will establish us in Christ, that will lead us in the paths of blessing for Your namesake, God, that will strengthen us for Your name and Your glory. Oh, how precious Your Word is to us. And God, we long for it today. We long for its instruction. We long for it to penetrate our heart and our soul and find fertile soil and build us up in Christ. God, I pray for those who may be here today who are not truly Yours, may not be truly born again in Christ, that God, Your Word would pierce them through and bring them to that sweet place of repentance and faith, turning to Jesus as Savior and Lord, being born of His power, redeemed by His blood, made Your own dear children. Oh God, do that saving work among us if any need to be saved, and ready us today for this table. Remind us of truth that needs to be pierced into our heart, that needs to be there, Father, always, of Christ, the sacrifice, the redemption that He has purchased. What this time is all about as we gather at this table, the bread, the juice, May we honor the Lord Jesus today. May you speak powerfully through your word. May this be a sweet time together with the presence of your Spirit and this, the unity of your Spirit, the unity we have in Christ. Oh, what a precious time. We pray it would be a sweet smelling aroma to you throughout this preaching of your word and this gathering around your table. And may it honor our Lord Jesus. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Well, there are two primary headings I want us to see this morning as we look at these truths. Very important as we gather around the Lord's table. Number one, the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Some call this communion. Usually we would say the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table is what's set before us. But what is this? What is the purpose of this? This is a beautiful proclamation here in this passage of Scripture concerning what the Lord's Supper is all about, what this table set before us is all about. And it's placed in this passage of Scripture right in the middle of a rebuke and a warning. And we didn't read this, but back in verse 17, leading up through verse 22 to this passage, he exposes the church at Corinth was perverting the Lord's table. They weren't taking this with reverence, with due respect. And to them, it was more of a feast. They were eating together. They would set bread out, and it would be a whole loaf, and they would come, and they would be eating supper. It was, oh, it's good. Hey, I can come here and be filled. And they weren't waiting on one another. They weren't taking this together. They weren't taking it with reverence. And so they had perverted it. And then down in verse 27 through 34, he warns and explains to them why they are being chastened and disciplined by the Lord. But here in the middle, it's like a diamond in a clod of dirt, is this beautiful picture of what the Lord's table, what this time together as the church is really all about, the purpose of the Lord's Supper. And so why are we doing this? What is this about? Why does the church gather around this table, partake of the bread, partake of the juice? And three things I want us to see in this passage, first of all, as we think about the purpose. Number one, we do this to obey. We do this to obey. Notice verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. And stop right there. That tells us something of extreme importance. The Lord's Supper is a sacred memorial. It is a special time gathering together that has been instituted and it has been commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we do this. Jesus has instituted this. Our Lord Jesus has commanded this. We do not do this because the Apostle Paul said we ought to do it. We don't do this because, you know, Peter, the leader of the 12, said, you know, we ought to do this. We don't do this because church tradition just handed this down and said, you know, we probably should do this. No, we do this because our Lord Jesus instituted this. And he commanded this. And Paul tells us very clearly it was on the night of Passover. It was on the same night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed that Jesus instituted and put into place the Lord's Supper, communion. And so what is this? Well, it began with Passover. Passover was the shadow. And that's what they were celebrating when Jesus transformed that Passover looking back into what we now call the Lord's table or communion. He transformed it. The shadow became a reality in Christ. In the Passover, you remember, Israel was celebrating that because God commanded them after bringing them out of bondage in Egypt to celebrate the Passover. And that's what happened that final night there in Egypt. The final straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, that broke Pharaoh down finally and said, get out of here and go. Of course, a long story to that. Then he changed his mind, pursued them, and the power of God came down and consumed them in the sea. But what are they doing? They're looking back. That final night, God said, I'm going to bring the death angel. And he's going to slay all the firstborn in Egypt. Every firstborn child in every family is going to die. And so you, my people, must take the blood of a spotless, unblemished lamb, slay that animal, pour that blood out, and you put that on the doorpost of your houses. And when the death angel comes and he sees the blood, he'll pass over. The Passover. The death angel passes over that house. That house is spared. That house is delivered. But any house that didn't have the blood, the death angel came and slayed the firstborn. So this is looking back to God passing over their houses and then bringing them out with a mighty deliverance by the blood of a spotless sacrifice. And that's what it was. And so they were looking back to that mighty deliverance of God through the blood of a spotless sacrifice. And once they had done that night and looked back, then Jesus instituted what we now know as the Lord's Supper. Passover was celebrated for the last time. And Jesus transformed the Passover into the Lord's Supper. Passover was only a shadow of what would be fulfilled in Christ. Christ is the substance. You see, it was Christ that was foreshadowed in that slaying of that unblemished lamb and then the blood being applied and the Passover there. That was all a picture of the Lamb of God who would come and His blood being shed on the cross. And then any soul that has the blood of Christ over them is passed over by God and delivered by His hand, not just into the promised land, but into heaven itself, into God's very presence. That's the blessing we have in Jesus, and that was the foreshadow, but now this is the institution pointing to Christ and the cross, the Lamb of God slain for us, for our sins. And you take note of those two words in verse 24 and also verse 25, do this. Jesus said, this do, and so this is a command of Jesus. And so this is not really an option for the believer. This is not something that we might think about we ought to partake of or do. This is a very sacred time. When the Lord's table's set up, it's crucial that we scatter from wherever we are and we gather into this place and we remember Him. He commanded us to do this. Very sacred time, and we obey the Lord. We do this out of obedience. We do this to obey. Secondly, we're doing this to remember. Verse 23 through verse 25, notice verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Verse 25, in the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. In remembrance of Me. And so we partake of this table, the cup, the juice, the cracker, the bread, to remember our Lord. We're remembering Him. Very crucial that we do this, that we separate from the world, we separate our minds from distractions, we separate from the busyness of life, anything running through our mind, and we come before the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for us, for our sins, and we remember Him. Remember His body that was broken for us, lacerated, His blood flowing out of His wounds. We remember Him. That's what this is about. And never is the church more centered on the Lord Jesus Christ and the price that He paid for our redemption than when we come to this table and we remember Him. We remember what He did, the price that He paid. That's what this is about. This is the heart of worship. The heart of worship is about Christ. It's about Him. It's about our Savior. It's about our heart and our soul and our lives being overwhelmed with such a God, such a Savior, such a price paid for our redemption. And we gather together this morning in worship around this table to focus solely on Jesus and that price of our redemption. That's what this is about. And that does us good. We need to tarry at the cross. We need to tarry there at His sacrifice. We need to behold Him. Behold the Lamb of God who was slain for us. The bread is symbolic of His broken body. When we in a moment get ready and we pass out the bread and we take that bread into our hand and We're remembering Him. That's what we're doing. We're not just taking a piece of wafer or cracker here, unleavened bread, but we are taking that and we are thinking in our mind, our heart and soul, Jesus laid down His life for me. His body was laid down as a sacrifice for me. They beat Him beyond recognition. They whipped Him with a cat of nine tails till His body was lacerated. His blood was flowing out of His wounds. They nailed Him to a cross, humiliated Him. He died for me. That's what we're remembering this morning. There was a price paid for our redemption. We're remembering that when we take hold of this. And when we partake of that and we put that in our mouth and we begin to chew that up and we're remembering He was broken for us, His body shredded with that cat of nine tails, lacerated Him, those nails pierced Him. We're remembering that and we are proclaiming, we're portraying that we have become partakers of that. As we partake of that bread and we put it into our mouth, it's a picture of the fact that we, as those who have come to Jesus as our Savior and Lord, turning from sin, putting our faith in Him, that He has redeemed us. He has placed us in Christ. We have received Him as our Savior and Lord. And so as we take that into our body, we're picturing that we have received that sacrifice ourselves. That's what we're doing. Same thing with the cup. We take hold of that juice, we're remembering Him, we're remembering specifically that His blood was shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Someone had to die. The wrath of God had to be poured out, it had to be satisfied, and that someone was Jesus. He poured out His blood in our place so that we could be set free, we could be redeemed. And so we take hold of that cup and we remember His blood. Remember that blood that flowed out of His wounds, that was poured out all over the place. And then we partake of that again. We are portraying that we ourselves have turned from sin to Christ. We have received His blood, His sacrifice for our sins. We have received Him as our only hope of salvation. And so that's what we're picturing this morning. That's what we're remembering. Understand, these are just elements, but they symbolize something that is so sacred and holy and precious, we cannot fathom it to the full in our mind. Such a price, such a redemption. I think it's important as well to say that, you know, you have to understand this cracker, this juice, partaking of this table and these elements does not save you. Just because you are somebody who partook of the Lord's Supper all your life does not mean you're saved. This is only a symbol of the real thing. Okay, it is Christ and His sacrifice, the price paid for our redemption that can save. And then God intervenes in our life and awakens us out of sin and He brings us to a place of turning from sin to Christ. We realize we're sinners, we're undone, we're without hope, enemies of God. But Christ has come and He has made the way and He has shed His blood and given His life for us, our sins. He has made the way for us. We turn from sin and self to Jesus as Savior and Lord. At that moment of calling on Jesus, putting faith in Him, God causes us to be born by His power. He grants us everlasting life. The Holy Spirit of God transforms us, makes us new, regenerates us. We're never the same. New nature, new life, new path. That's what we're picturing. And if that's not a reality in your life through Christ already, this table will do you no good. It's a mockery if you partake of this and it's not real in your soul. And so this is for those who have come to that understanding. I'm a sinner. I'm condemned. I'm unclean. I need Christ and have partaken of Him, called upon Him, believed upon Him as Savior and Lord, been born anew of His power. Well, then when you come to the table, oh, it's precious. Because it's real in your heart and soul. You are His child. You have received Him as Savior and Lord. And when you partake of that, oh, the blessing of that. You're proclaiming that, as we're going to see. And so we do this to remember Him. Lastly, as I just said, to proclaim. Notice verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Till He comes. That's what we're doing this morning. Notice the words as often as you do this. It often comes into our minds or some point in the life of the church or members of the church, you know, how often do we partake of the Lord's Supper, especially the pastor? How often should we do this as a church? How often should I lead the church to do this? Well, the Scripture does not tell us how often. There's no command for how often we ought to be doing this. There are some churches that do it every single Sunday. Nothing wrong with that as long as it does not become common and mundane and it's just tagged on to the end of a service. As long as you can keep it set apart and reverent and holy and not common, that's the main thing. We usually do this about every 3 months, 4 times a year, once a quarter is our goal. Maybe we should do it more. I'm open to suggestions. I just don't want it. What we don't want to do is let it become common. We always, you know, 17 years here, when this table's set, one form or another in the Word, we're going to the cross. We're going to Jesus and the sacrifice. And so, as often as you do it, that's left up to us as a church body. We need to keep it holy and reverent, as we'll see here in a moment in greater detail. But note this, verse 26, that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim. That word proclaim is literally the same word that is translated often as preach. We're going to preach this morning. Each of us that partake of this table are going to preach. You get to preach today, not just me. You partake of this, you're going to preach this morning. You're going to proclaim. You're going to announce. You're going to herald this morning. What are we going to herald? That Jesus is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. That's what we're going to preach this morning. When we partake of these elements, we take this bread and this cup and we take that into our body, we're going to preach that Jesus is the Lamb of God. We're going to preach that there's only one way to heaven, and that is through this Jesus. There's only one sacrifice acceptable to God, only one way to God the Father. That is through Jesus Christ, His suffering, His punishment fulfilled on our behalf. Christ and Christ alone can reconcile us to God. And we're going to preach that our Lord died for us in our place, bore our sin and our shame, that the punishment that was due us was unleashed upon Him. He's paid it to the full, that in Jesus there is no condemnation. In Christ is everlasting life. In Christ, forgiveness of sin, the gift of heaven and the presence of God, all that in Him. We're going to preach that Jesus is our Savior. That's what we're going to proclaim. That's what we're going to proclaim this morning. Only Jesus can save. He's our only hope. And you notice here as well, there's a future aspect. We're not just looking to Christ and the cross and the price paid, but He says, as often as you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. And so not only are we taking this in and remembering the sacrifice, but also we're looking forward and we're anticipating that our Lord is coming. He's coming for His own. He's going to gather His church together. That dragnet's going across the world and it's coming to a close. It's coming back to the shore. And then there's going to be the great separation and He's going to gather His own into His kingdom. Our Lord comes. And so we're doing this until He does. Until He comes and we eat of this with Him at the marriage supper of the Lamb, we proclaim it until that time. And so the purpose of the Lord's Supper, to obey, to remember, to proclaim. The second thing we see are some instructions for the Lord's Supper. How do we do this? Some words of instruction. Number one, there's a word of warning here. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. The word therefore, mark that, therefore. What's that mean? It means in light of what this represents. In light of the fact that this is portraying and picturing and symbolizing the Lord's sacrifice, His broken body, His shed blood for our sins. In light of that, whoever, it don't matter who they are, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. It is a serious warning. What's it mean? In an unworthy manner. It means in an unbecoming manner. In a manner that's not fitting. In a manner that's unbecoming of what this represents and what this signifies. In a manner that is not giving it due reverence. Zodiades, one of the Greek scholars, says, not attributing to it and its elements their proper value. So if you partake of this table, these elements, the bread and the juice, and you're not giving it due reverence, you're not attributing to it what it truly represents, then you're bringing judgment upon yourself. Guilt. Guilt. Now I want to make clear that there are some, I've come across some who understand that to some degree, and they say, boy, if that's how serious this is, I'm not going to do it. And therefore, they don't ever want to come to this table because they're afraid. And there ought to be a sense of fear and trembling when we approach the table. There ought to be. But never was this instruction given to try to run us all away from this table, but rather to make sure that we do it in a right manner, that we don't become like Corinth and do this flippantly and begin to pervert the Lord's table. We don't want to do that. And it's given in that context where they were doing that. And so he's warning them and us as well as judgment. And so he means in a manner in which you haven't prepared yourself, in which you're not got your mind clear and you're focused on Jesus and you're thinking about what this truly represents and giving due honor to Christ and his sacrifice. That's the issue. And so this isn't warning us as well that we should be worthy. Some people get that mixed up. Well, if you got to do this in a worthy manner, I've got to be worthy. No. That's the whole point of the Lord's sacrifice. We're not worthy. We're undone. We're enemies of God, without hope in this world, according to Ephesians. Enemies of God. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No one's worthy of such love and such mercy and such sacrifice. And so the more that you realize the love and the mercy of God that has brought Jesus down to you, and have a sense of your sin and your unworthiness, the more you can separate those two, the more ready you are to partake of this. If you're like, well, yeah, he died for me, but I'm really not that much of a sinner, you better back off. But if you say, boy, I'm not worthy of this, but boy, look at what my Jesus has done. Look at how much my God has loved me. Look at what he has accomplished. Then you're ready. Then you're ready to approach this table. And so the manner in which we partake of it. Know this, if you abuse the table in an unworthy manner, then weakness, sickness, and even death can result. And that's what it means there. Because of this, many are sick, many are weak, many sleep. Weakness, sickness, and death can result from approaching this in an unworthy manner. So this is due reverence, it's due respect. Secondly, there is a call here to examination. So how do we make sure we do this in a worthy manner? Verse 28, here's how God calls us to approach this table. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Down in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. God says, examine yourself. Judge yourself, meaning, you know, take a moment before you come to this table and look on the inside. Search your heart out. Ask God to reveal yourself before Him. Judge yourself. That is a command, by the way. This isn't a suggestion. You might want to think about this. No, let a man examine himself. Make sure you do this. Examine yourself, judge yourself. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Literally, it speaks there of bringing the gavel down on our own head. If we don't do this, you can be certain not only will God judge you, you've just brought judgment on yourself because you've approached it in a manner unbecoming with irreverence. And so, you know, how do you do this? We need to look on the inside for a moment this morning and say, God, search me. Humble ourselves there. Father, search my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, God. God, is there anything in my life that I'm not seeing that I ought to see? Do I have a log in my eye, a stick in my eye? Do I have a speck in my eye, God, that I'm not dealing with, that I'm not seeing, that I need to see? Lord, search me out. And if there's anything revealed there, confess that before God. Repent of that before God. Take that to God. Ask Him for forgiveness and cleansing, and then trust in His forgiveness and cleansing. If we confess our sins, He doesn't chide us there. He doesn't push us off to the side, but He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. Amen. And so He says, judge yourself. Make sure you take a moment to ask God to search your heart, and you look on the inside and you make a careful examination and judge yourself rightly. Don't push things off that you ought to be dealing with. And once we've examined ourselves, verse 28, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. It is important that we do this. Again, God is not trying to scare the bejeemers out of us and just run us into a corner somewhere and never come here. If we are truly in Christ, saved, he's calling us to come here. This is a command. It's not an option. And one of the things this is doing is bringing us to accountability. If we kind of wander off from God a little bit and we let some things go that we ought not be letting go, we let sin come into our life, then when we come to this table, God's saying, guess what? You got to deal with that. He doesn't want us all out there very far and not dealing with something. The moment we get away from God, we need to deal with that and come right back. And so one of the things the Lord's Supper does is bring us to that place of accountability. We can't partake of this unless we do that. And so God is forcing us to examine ourselves, get cleaned up. And we need to be clean. It's a good place to be when you're cleaned up before God and you're not letting sin go in your life. We need to be cleaned up with God. And so then let Him eat. Let Him eat. And then there's a call, notice here, to unification. Verse 33 and 34, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. And so there's a call to unification. We do this together. We don't just go home and partake of the Lord's table anytime we want to. No, the ecclesia, the gathering of the church, we do this gathered. We do this together. All of us together as the body of Christ, we come together and we do this with a sense of unity, remembering the Lord's sacrifice for our sins. One of the major issues at the church at Corinth, if you know this book, Corinthians, was they were a mess. They were carnal. They were yet fleshly. They were divided over preachers and pastors and divided up into groups. And they were literally bringing lawsuits against one another. It was a mess. Some of them were getting drunk. You read the prior verses. It was a mess here. And Paul is calling them out and warning them severely and calling them to the sacredness of this table and what it's truly about. And so, you know, what we need to do as a body of Christ is make sure we don't have something against one another either. The reality is, if I'm not right with someone, neither am I right with God. You can't let that go and be okay with God. God calls us to the table and says, if you've got aught, someone's got aught against you, either way, go to them and be reconciled. Then come and present your gift to the altar. And so we have to obey that. So again, it's God's forcing us to accountability. Examine your heart. You got bitterness towards someone. You got unforgiveness towards someone. You need to get that right with the Lord. Don't let sin go or division go or anything go. Ask God to search you. Get that right. Come together as a body unified in Christ. This sacrifice, it's put us all on level ground, hasn't it? None of us are elevated above the other. Don't matter that I'm up here at the pulpit. You know who I am to be? God, help me to be the lowest among you. Help me to be the servant of all. That's who I am to be. Help me to be among you as one who serves. Well, that's the calling. That's the calling for anyone in Christ. And so we're to be considering others more important than ourselves. And this brings us to unification. Think about it. Never are we more centered on Christ and the cross than at this table. And just imagine the picture of what's going to happen here in a moment. As we examine ourselves and we get right with God and our sins are confessed and we approach Him washed in His blood and with a clear heart and a clear conscience, and we begin to partake of these elements, and all of us together have that bread and we have that juice and we partake of that. Oh, can you see the picture of what that is to the Lord Jesus, a sweet smelling aroma of His church, worshiping Him and reverencing Him and saying, we love you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the sacrifice. That's what we're doing this morning. He is well pleased when we gather around this table and we have searched ourselves out and we focus upon Him and we come to Him with grateful hearts in awe of such a God, such a Savior, such a salvation. Sweet smelling aroma this morning of worship to Him. So that's what we're doing. That's what this is about. So who should partake of this? Number one, as we've said, one who is saved. If you have not truly been saved, turned from sin, come to Christ, been changed by Him, born anew, redeemed, then you're making a mockery of this. You don't want to partake of this and it not be real in your heart. But if it is real in your heart and you have received Christ as Savior and Lord, then He commands you to come and partake of this. We're commanded to. You must be saved. Secondly, someone who is baptized. I always bring that out. Why? Because if you have been saved, truly born again, but you have not been baptized, then you've got a speck in your eye, maybe a stick, maybe a log. You've got something not right between you and Jesus. He's commanded you also to be baptized. That's another ordinance. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. And so if you have been saved, but you're not yet baptized, you need to come this morning and settle that. Say, God, I'm going to follow You, Jesus. I'm going to obey You. Come to me. Let me know. We'll get that done. We'll take care of that. But you don't want that undone in your heart. And then to approach the table and God to be pointing that out. Why haven't you? Why have you left this undone? See, again, accountability. It's causing us to make sure we're right with Him. And we need that. We need that daily. We need that together as His church. Thirdly, one who has examined themselves, as we've just shared in the Word. Each of us need to take a moment, whether you do it in the pew or at the altar. You need to get alone with God in your heart and truly, earnestly say, God, search me. Examine me. See if there be any sin in me. Confess any known sin. Get that there before God and washed in His blood. Get that forgiven. Confess it before Him. He'll cleanse you. Search your heart if there's any ill will towards someone, unforgiveness, bitterness. Get that right with the other person even if need be, and with God most certainly, but with the other person as well. So search yourself, examine yourself, make sure that you're prepared. And then lastly, do you have to be a member of this church? Some of you have not yet joined, and that's fine. No, you do not have to be a member of this church. It is not a closed communion. It's open to anyone who is born of the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, has examined themselves, and are prepared to partake of this table. Our fellowship here this morning is with the Lord Jesus, and that goes, yes, in this little local body, this body of Christ, but beyond these walls, beyond these doors, to anyone in Christ. Anyone in Christ. So we're going to have a time of invitation this morning. And that's the time to examine ourselves, just set our hearts right before God, get our hearts focused on Jesus and what these elements mean, the bread and the juice. If you need to cut out of here, you don't feel led to be a part of this time, you can scoot out of here. When we get ready to pray and sing, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. If you need to be saved this morning, it's a time to come and be saved. If God has spoken to your heart, you know you're not right with God, you need to come and surrender yourself to Jesus, call on Him as Savior and Lord, then come today. Get that right. You need to be baptized, then come and settle that. Get that in obedience to Jesus. Come and commit. I want to follow Him. I don't want that left undone. I want to be obedient. I want to follow the Lord in baptism. All of us who are in Christ need to search our hearts and examine ourselves. So let's stand this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our praise team's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. I want to encourage you to come or encourage you to just in your seats, even if you need to sit, feel free to sit. But the main thing is we take the time to examine ourselves this morning. Father, we thank you for this time today. We thank you for your table, these elements, the bread, the cup, what they represent. Something so holy, something so sacred and set apart, it is beyond our ability to comprehend. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, the price that He has paid for our redemption, the blessings that flow through Him to us, forgiveness, cleansing, everlasting life, the promise of your sanctification, one day glorification, to be made like Jesus and brought home to eternal glory. Oh, what a precious time that we come to today, Lord. Set this aright in our hearts. Search us out, see if there be any wicked way in us. Ready us to partake of this. Save any that need to be saved. And God, any work that needs done in us, with you or maybe even with someone else, do that work and ready our hearts for this precious and sacred time as we remember our Lord till He comes, as we proclaim His death till He comes. Help us in this, Lord. Have your will and way in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.